Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to talk to you about natural gas. If you've been following the channel, you'll be fully aware that the Achilles heel for the European Union right now, with regards to the sanctions that have been applied against Russia, is natural gas, because a lot of countries have a high dependency on the gas that's sent directly to them by the pipelines that were installed by Russia over the last 20 years. And this gas comes in a gaseous form, and it's the lowest cost form of delivery that you can find. So it's the cheapest gas and it's the most convenient. And it's really difficult for a lot of countries to be able to move away from that gas supply, because the only really viable alternative is to switch to liquefied natural gas. And in order to switch to liquefied natural gas, firstly, you need to have facilities to be able to accommodate the delivery of large amounts of liquefied natural gas. Secondly, you need to have regasification plants. So in order to use that gas, you have to convert it back to gaseous form and then feed it into your network. And thirdly, you then have to have purchase agreements in to get the volumes that you need. And for a lot of countries, this is a massive logistical challenge, because the easiest way to handle the delivery of large volumes of LNG is to do it at the coast. But obviously not all of the countries of Europe have significant coastlines to be able to do this. In addition to that issue, even the ones who do have sufficient coastlines, you need to have ports that are deep enough to be able to handle the tankers, and then you need to be able to build the infrastructure. So it's not quite as simple as making a couple of phone calls and saying, can you deliver a billion cubic meters of liquefied natural gas, please? There is a lot of infrastructure and planning needing to go into this. And this is the main problem for the European Union right now. If all of the countries were able to switch supplies overnight, then the sanctions could be fully enforced, including secondary sanctions, which is the process whereby other countries who are still buying from Russia are put under pressure to stop making those deals. And that would be India and China predominantly. So at the moment, the big problem that the EU has is making the switch to LNG. And in today's video, I want to give you an update on where we are with regards to that switch over to LNG. The EU is actually making some really good progress. So in today's video, I'll show you a really interesting chart which shows the level of LNG delivery being received into Europe versus the amount of pipeline gas from Russia. I'll then give you an update on what's going on with Germany, Italy, and Finland. We'll have a look at the other pipeline infrastructure in Europe, because it's not just Russia who's built pipelines. There are some other ones, and there are some other gas fields. So this is the alternative for the EU, as well as LNG. They can receive gas in a gaseous form if the infrastructure is built by the supplying country. So we'll have a look at what's going on with that. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, and what the implications of all of this are for both Russia and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Whether you're a first-time viewer or a multiple viewer, please hit that subscribe button. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so you can skip over things if you're running short on time or you're getting a bit bored. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube's membership and super thanks, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon.
So how is liquefied natural gas produced? Natural gas extracted from the ground contains impurities, water, and other associated liquids. First, it is processed to clean it. It goes through a series of pipes and vessels where gravity helps separate the gas from some of the heavier liquids. Other impurities are then stripped out. The natural gas passes through a water-based solvent that absorbs carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. These would otherwise freeze when the gas is cooled and so cause blockages. Next, any remaining water is removed, as this would also freeze. Finally, remaining lighter natural gas liquids, mainly propane and butane, are extracted to be sold separately or used as a refrigerant later in the cooling process. Traces of mercury are also filtered out. Now the purified natural gas, methane with some ethane, is ready to be liquefied. This happens in heat exchangers. A coolant, chilled by giant refrigerators, absorbs the heat from the natural gas. It cools the gas to minus 162 degrees centigrade, shrinking its volume by 600 times. This turns it into a clear, colorless, non-toxic liquid, liquefied natural gas, or LNG, that is much easier to store and transport.
As I mentioned at the start of the video, there is a big push in Europe to move away from Russian gas and buy more LNG. And the big suppliers of LNG into Europe are the USA and Qatar. And this graph shows the amount of US LNG being bought by Europe against the amount of Russian gas being piped in. And as you can see from the chart, since the end of 2021, there has been a significant increase in the amount of LNG being purchased directly from the US. And at the same time, we have seen a significant reduction in the amount of Russian piped gas. So much so that in June 2022, the two lines have crossed over. So Europe is now buying more LNG from the US than it is taking Russian gas. Now, there are a number of factors that have caused this situation, not least the fact that Russia has been reducing the amount of gas that it's prepared to supply directly into Europe. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Poland and Bulgaria were the first two countries to have their supply completely switched off because both countries refused to pay Russia in rubles for that supply. They were followed by Denmark and the Netherlands. And we've seen a number of other countries have their supply either cut off or reduced. And in addition to those issues, the Nord Stream pipeline, which supplies huge volumes of gas directly from Russia to Germany, the volumes in that were firstly reduced significantly and then were stopped entirely as a result of planned maintenance. Now, prior to the maintenance taking place, Russia had sent a turbine to Siemens in Canada for its regular refurbishment. But the Canadian authorities then seized that turbine and said that they were unable to release it due to the sanctions that are in place. Russia then claimed that the non-return of this turbine meant that they couldn't send the volume of gas that was needed to Germany. And in addition to the problems with the Nord Stream supply, we also saw a couple of other pipelines affected, one of which passed through Poland. And the Russian authorities said they were concerned that Poland would intercept the gas and steal it, so they cut off the supply through that pipeline. And the Ukrainian authorities also closed down a pipeline that they said was being siphoned off and used by Russian military in Ukraine. So there are a number of contributing factors to the huge decline that we've seen in Russian piped gas. The supply has fallen from around 10 billion cubic meters in February to around 4.5 billion cubic meters now. And that's a combination of a reduction in demand and also a reduction in supply. In terms of the supply from the US, you can see there's been a ramping up from around 2 billion cubic meters to 5.5 billion cubic meters. However, we'll need to see a further increase in those supplies in order to entirely replace all of the Russian gas. But obviously, the replacement gas will not all be coming from the US. There will be large supplies from Qatar and other gas-producing nations. This map shows the current LNG terminals in Europe, so you can see that we don't have anywhere near enough right now. Spain has the most, with 7 different terminals located at all different parts of its coastline. The UK has 3, as does Italy, and the Netherlands and France have 2. So in order to be able to move away from purchasing gas from Russia, this map needs to change entirely. We need to see a whole lot more of these LNG facilities being established all around Europe. But you can see the problem with regards to a lot of different countries. If you look at the main section of the map towards the right, you can see that there are a lot of countries in Europe that don't have very much coastline or any coastline. And they will rely upon gas being piped to them through the network of pipes that currently exists. This map shows the major pipelines that are currently in place all across Europe. So most of these pipelines are denominated in black. However, you can see that there are 2 yellowy-orange pipelines. They are the Nord Stream pipelines. The first one has been established and is operational. And Nord Stream 2, as you'll know if you follow the channel, was recently completed but has never been opened and is not operational and is unlikely to ever be operational going forward. The pipelines on the right-hand side of this map were predominantly constructed by Russia as a way of feeding its gas into Europe. As we move further left, some of the pipelines were built by each individual nation. But the bottom line here is that Europe will be able to use these pipelines. If the supplies are cut off from Russia, these pipes can be used to move gas in the opposite direction. So what Europe needs to do is establish LNG facilities all around the coastline, and then link those facilities directly into the established network of pipelines in order to be able to move gas to all of the places that need it. So the benefit that Europe has is that the infrastructure already exists. They just need to utilize it in a different way. They need to send gas back through the system so that it's going from left to right on this chart rather than from right to left. as it has been doing historically. Now, in addition to those established pipelines, we've also got some new infrastructure that's being constructed by Norway. This pipeline has been under construction for the last 3 years and is now connected to Denmark and Poland, who can buy gas from Norway. Poland is now working on a connection to Lithuania, and in addition to this pipeline, there is also another pipeline called the Balti Connector, which links Estonia to Finland. Italy has announced that it will fast-track the permit process to set up a new regasification vessel aimed at expanding the country's capacity to import LNG in an effort to cut its dependence on Russia. In a letter to the EU Commissioner for the Environment, Italy's Ecological Transition Minister said the project would be exempt from Rome's environmental impact assessment, which can slow down significantly the construction of infrastructure projects. Any delays or obstacles likely to prevent the timely implementation of the regasification vessel would be contrary to the interests of Italian citizens and would end up jeopardising the country's energy security, the minister said in his letter. Under the government project, Snam, which is the state-controlled gas operator, will own the vessel, which will be moored in the port of Piombino in Tuscany and is intended to be connected to the country's gas network by the spring of 2023. The vessel has a capacity of 5 billion cubic metres of gas per year and will remain in Piombino for 3 years before being replaced offshore. In addition, Italy have agreed to buy Golar Arctic for $280 million. And this ship will be located on the island of Sardinia and be able to provide around 4 billion cubic metres of gas per year. Now, the timing of this vessel will be a bit slower because Golar Arctic needs to be rebuilt and it's likely to take around 2 years before it's fully operational. Germany is the world's largest importer of natural gas and in 2021 imported 142 billion cubic metres of gas, and around 100 billion cubic metres of that was supplied directly to households for heating and cooking purposes. And this chart shows the breakdown of where that gas came from. So you can see that 32% of the gas used came directly from Russia via the pipelines, 22% came from storage. So essentially, that's building up gas and then drawing it back down later. So some of that storage would also have come from the Russian pipelines. 20% came directly from a Norwegian pipeline. 12% came from a Netherlands pipeline. And 11% came from a pipeline from the Czech Republic. However, the Czech Republic sources the vast majority of its gas directly from Russia. However, Germany has made great strides in being able to replace that Russian supply, and it's now signed deals with Norway and Greece to provide floating liquefied natural gas regasification ships. Germany has signed a lease agreement with a Norwegian shipping company to provide two ships that can each receive around 6 billion cubic meters of gas annually. In total, the amount of gas that this corresponds to equates to a quarter of the gas that Germany currently imports directly from Russia. The cost of this lease agreement is estimated to be around $1 billion. If you follow the channel, you'll know I recently reported that Russia cut off all gas supplies to Finland, and Finland have not been hanging around, and they've signed a deal with Norway to provide one of these floating liquefied natural gas regasification and storage facilities. A deal has been signed with Accelerate Energy to lease the ship Exemplar, which will act as a floating terminal for supercooled liquefied natural gas. The deal is a 10-year lease agreement at a cost of around $500 million. The ship itself is almost 1,000 feet long and 140 feet wide, and has a storage capacity of 150,000 cubic metres, which means that it has the potential to produce around 4 billion cubic metres of gas per year. This ship was previously leased by Argentina and was used to provide LNG for the winter season. The ship will be located in southern Finland and receive LNG supplies 2 to 3 times per month. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I think the key issue that's been identified as part of the sanctions process is the amount of natural gas exposure that Europe had to Russia. This was actually something that the US had been raising over the last couple of years, and they had strong objections to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was actually completed back in November 21, but was never opened because the certification was challenged by the USA because they felt that it was giving Russia too much political power over the countries of Europe. And as it's turned out, that's proved to be right. And what we've seen since the start of the Ukraine war is that a lot of countries have been desperately trying to change their infrastructure to get away from those gas supplies from Russia and find alternative ways of producing electricity or finding gas from other suppliers. And that process is still ongoing. And until we get to the end of this process, we won't really see the sanctions being applied fully against Russia. As I've mentioned in a lot of other videos, secondary sanctions are critical to make sure that we see the sanctions being fully baked and having the biggest impact on the Russian economy. Because if Russia is able to pivot and sell all of its products that it was previously selling to Europe into India and China, then the country will be able to carry on as if nothing has happened. And the only real downside will be that all of the countries who've introduced these sanctions will be in a worse position because they've increased all of their costs by buying alternative options. So that isn't something that the European Union or the US wants. So they're desperately trying to get rid of all of these gas purchases to be able to then apply all of the sanctions fully. And what we're seeing right now is a really rapid move towards a shift to LNG. As I showed you earlier, the amount of LNG being supplied by the US is now actually more than the gas being supplied by Russia. So in terms of supply, we're already at that point. But one of the reasons that that line has crossed over is because Russia have reduced their supplies significantly. And that still represents a huge risk for Europe, because if they run out of gas, then that's the worst case scenario. So that's not what anybody wants. So the infrastructure is really needed to be able to get more LNG to keep the levels of gas flowing in all of the countries. And what we're now seeing is deals being done, infrastructure being built, timeframes being shortened, paperwork being speeded up. So there is a real movement now and we're seeing huge momentum. And there's absolutely no way back from this, because once all of the European countries have committed this capital, then they will move to LNG. And ultimately, we may well see a lot more renewable energy being invested into over the next 5 to 10 years. So I doubt any country in the world will find themselves in this sort of situation in the long term, because everybody's had a wake-up call to realise that it's not a smart move to buy all of your energy directly from one country who potentially could then use that as political leverage. And that's really what we've seen over the last 6 months or so. So we're seeing all of the European countries making great strides. So what's the impact on Russia? Well, this will be devastating for the Russian economy, because in the same way as the European countries are having to invest in lots of infrastructure in order to handle LNG, Russia will also need to invest in huge amounts of infrastructure to turn the gas that it currently sends to Europe into LNG and be able to sell it elsewhere. And there are a couple of challenges around that. Firstly, a lot of the gas fields that Russia has are in inhospitable places with terrible climate. So a lot of them are in the Arctic Circle. And that means challenges in terms of building large plants. But in addition to the physical challenges, they've also got financial challenges, because these plants are very expensive and complicated to set up. And what Russia have done in the past is seek business partners. So when you look at the Sakhalin development, which is a big gas facility on an island off Russia, Russia brought in a couple of American companies and Shell. They designed everything, they paid for the build, and then at the end of that process, the Russian authorities stepped in and demanded that Gazprom be given 50% ownership of the business. Subsequently, Russia are now taking 100% of that business. And I think the issue that raises is whether or not Russia is a reliable business partner. Because when you get into a business arrangement with somebody, particularly if it's a long-term asset that's going to have a lifetime of 50 to 100 years, then you want to know that you've got a long-term partnership. What you don't want to do is invest huge amounts of money and time and expertise, and then to find that once everything is operational, your business partner changes the rules of the game and takes the lion's share of the profits. And that's exactly what's happened. And I think that's going to put off any potential investors from India or China into getting into bed with Russia, because they just won't trust the Russian authorities not to do the same to them. So Russia's got a real problem with regards to financing all of these new developments. But they'll also have technological problems. As you'll know if you follow the channel, the technology sanctions that have been applied against Russia will start to have an impact, because a lot of technology is developed elsewhere in the world. Russia depends on foreign technology for a lot of its infrastructure. And if it doesn't have access to that technology, That's going to cause major problems. And that will be a constant theme for Russia over the next 5 to 10 years. So there are a lot of challenges for Russia. And switching the gas supply into LNG is going to be huge. It's going to take years to be able to do it. And that means that the revenues from gas will fall significantly for Russia during that period. And in fact, we may get to the point where the world supply chain gets to a situation where they don't need the Russian gas. China is currently talking to Russia about building a new gas pipeline, which would send gaseous gas all the way through to China. But there is a big challenge with that as well, because those pipelines are very long, and China is expecting Russia to pay for all of that gas pipeline. So I think fundamentally what we'll see here is a massive fall in revenue for the Russian economy. And that's really bad news for Russia because they've got a lot of other challenges right now. In terms of the impact on the global economy, well, we are seeing an increase in costs. All of the switch to LNG is much more expensive than taking that gas in the current pipelines. So it is going to increase costs. And this is obviously coming at a time when energy prices are already very high. We've seen a lot of inflation being driven by energy. So this will add further pressure to inflation and it will add further pressure to the global economy. So it is going to contribute further to the likelihood of a global recession, which is coming at some point in the next 3 to 6 months, unfortunately. So there is downside for all of us. We're all going to have to pay more for our energy. And those energy costs obviously feed through into the price of everything, because when you're using gas to produce electricity, electricity is being used by everybody. So those costs get added on to all prices. So it becomes a really vicious circle. So there is downside for all of us. I think there's more downside for Russia. They will suffer the most. But we will all suffer as a result of this. But in the medium to long term, I think there are upsides because we're moving away from one dominant supplier in Europe into a much better supply chain and much less risk of political leverage going forward. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it interesting, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.